Hi, this is Dr. Erica Monhe-Greer with Scholarly Wonderlust, and today I'm responding to a request from several of my listeners and followers to present a paper that I gave recently in London on behavioral economics and ethics in the Book of Ruth. The Hebrew Bible Book of Ruth has been praised for its message of faithfulness, inclusion, and language of blessing. It is a remarkable story in that it is only one of two books named for women along with Esther, and it contains the Jewish prayer of conversion. It has been called romantic, inspiring, and a prime example of redeeming love. Ruth is a short story that could probably have been woven into either the patriarchal narratives of Genesis, situated somewhere along the lines of Tamar in Genesis 38, who is mentioned in Ruth 4:12 as an ancestress, or in Joshua 2, nestled near Rahab of Jericho, an immigrant woman like Ruth who also became an Israelite, in Joshua 6:25. Ruth stands on its own as an independent narrative. However, the placement of Ruth in the canon has been disputed. Most modern English Bibles place Ruth between Judges and 1 Samuel, highlighting Israel's transition to a monarchy. Many Hebrew Bible editions place Ruth in the Megillot as Jewish literature, highlighting Ruth as a celebrant text read at major festivals. One edition places Ruth after Proverbs, a placement that encourages a critical analysis of economic activity in Ruth. Ruth could also be read alongside other biblical texts, for example, Ezra and Nehemiah, highlighting the implications of politics on immigration and national identity. The Book of Ruth includes so many different aspects of social life in ancient Israel that where and how we read the text highlights various aspects of the narrative, a literary characteristic that makes Ruth such an appealing book for cross-disciplinary analysis. Is there a book more dedicated in its entirety to examining aspects of economic function in society? Ruth presents a story dealing with male-female relationships, female-female relationships, marriage, family, levirate law, extended family, and the story additionally provides insight into land ownership, human resource management of servants, slaves, and immigrants, examples of production, harvest, distribution, and a description of a functioning welfare system. This paper seeks to explore the Book of Ruth in light of behavioral economics, ethics, and the evolutionary theory of cooperation and its challenge, altruism. Economics is the formal study of resource allocation. Behavioral economics considers how social, psychological, emotional, and cultural influences affect how and why people allocate goods and services. Behavioral economics is a discipline that challenges classical economic theories that assume every participant is a rational thinker, following systematic and predetermined decision paths. Nobel Prize laureate Richard H. Thaler, the author of Misbehaving: The Making of Behavioral Economics, challenged the belief that people act in rational, unbiased ways that lead to an equilibrium in the market, and formalized a more complex approach to economic theory by factoring in the social sciences. Thaler observed that humans do not make decisions in ways that easily fall into mathematical economic models. Therefore, whenever an economist attempts to predict and forecast a trend, their odds of accuracy depend on including the human element. The behavior factor can seem irrational and unsystematic at times. Most of all, these human factors are unpredictable when limited to presumptive premises of classical economic theory. Behavioral economics introduces social elements into the equation, making way for this cross-disciplinary reading of the biblical narrative, Ruth. This essay will consider the boundaries of rational action as behavioral economics in the story of Ruth. One aspect of social behavior relevant to this discussion is cooperation. Cooperation is the idea that human society evolves and strengthens when humans cooperate rather than seek to prove individual fitness over and above others. Cooperation is often done subconsciously as a means of survival for self-preservation, and cooperation theory highlights an agent's preference to support close relations over strangers. Some scholars have argued that social behaviors like religion influence cooperation, even though cooperation theory is typically reserved for application to evolutionary bias for fitness and kin selection. However, by considering religion a factor of cooperation, theologian Sarah Coakley and scientist Martin A. Novak explored the concept of altruism, typically viewed as a challenge to evolution. Evaluating cooperation efforts in a biblical text draws attention to altruism. Altruism is a social science concept that factors into behavioral economics and challenges cooperation theories. Altruism is helping the poor. Early Christianity exemplifies assisting the poor as a form of higher calling. Gregory of Nyssa, the 4th century bishop, preached that helping the poor was the highest calling and that to help the poor is to see the face of God. Is it possible that religious teachings about helping the poor may influence people to perform altruistic acts even for those who are not their kin? What about extending altruism to foreigners? Ruth offers examples of altruism demonstrated through encounters between Ruth and Boaz and between Ruth and Naomi. Classical views of economics and cooperation both presume that individuals act rationally and prioritize the self when making economic decisions. Any acts of generosity are seen as self-serving. Behavioral economics has tested and presented a more realistic model of economic prediction, where an agent may make economic decisions based on social and psychological inputs, like religious directives or romantic interests, for example. Acts of altruism are explained by behavioral economic theory. The story in Ruth demonstrates examples of altruism and cooperation, which are recognized by evaluating actions as self-serving or kin-serving, and actions that are not self-serving or kin-based. The story of Ruth begins with an economic decision by Elimelech and Naomi to leave Bethlehem during a time of famine and go to Moab. Naomi represents a rational actor. Her family left Bethlehem to pursue a more prosperous situation, as it says in Ruth 1, 1 and 2. Then, when things dried up and her family was gone, she sought to return to the land of Judah, where, besides having heard the famine was over, she might be able to sell her property, mentioned in Ruth 4, 3, and find acceptance by distant relatives as a widow in need of support. Since beginning my work on this paper, I have learned that Bethlehem and Moab are separated by mere miles. On a clear day, Naomi could see her homeland, which explains how Naomi's family knew Moab was fertile during the earlier famine. And it also explains how Naomi saw she could return to Bethlehem. Ruth and Orpah, her daughters-in-law, also lost their provision with the death of Naomi's family. And as one to follow custom, Naomi bid them return to their homes. The marriage of the Moabite women to Naomi's sons were based on contracts of agreement for economic security. The contract was not fulfilled for either woman. Neither had borne children, and Naomi had no way of fulfilling the contracts. According to Middle Assyrian laws, when a woman's husband dies and there is no child to solidify her place in his family, she should be given as a wife to a near brother. And where there is no other male of the family who can provide for her, her dowry should be returned. The marriage of a widow to her departed husband's brother is known as the Levirate Law. It was an ancient Near Eastern practice mentioned in Deuteronomy 25, 5-10. It is the practice to which Naomi refers when she asks Ruth and Orpah in verse 1:11, "Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands?" Ruth's decision to remain with Naomi is an example of economic altruism. Classical economic theory and cooperation theories would agree that Ruth's best option is to return to her family. Instead, Ruth binds herself to Naomi. There is no act of passion so moving as the commitment Ruth makes to Naomi in chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Ruth's pledge of devotion and love is as good as any marriage contract. The implications of such a vow means that Naomi is under no obligation to return Ruth's dowry, nor under any pressure to provide another son. The two have now pooled their resources. Naomi's actions follow classical economic theory and cooperation. She and Elimelech acted in their own best interest, leaving Bethlehem for Moab. When things go sour, Naomi returns to her homeland where the famine has ended, Ruth 1:6. She urges Ruth and Orpah to seek their own best interests in verses 8 and 9. But eventually, she allows Ruth to accompany her, adding security to her future and avoiding any obligation which may be owed to Ruth's family. Ruth, however, acts against her own best economic interests. We cannot know the circumstances of her father's house, and we are not told anything about the nature of her relationship with Naomi before this moment. All things equal, Ruth should return to her home, marry among her people, and seek to bear children for her own security. Social factors influence her actions, however, which lead her to Bethlehem instead. In chapter 2, Ruth initiates agency to provide for herself and Naomi, verses 2 and 3. She goes out to collect according to the welfare system, which allows people in need to glean behind harvesters in the fields of landowners, according to Leviticus 23. She risks her own safety. Having left Moab, she is now a foreign immigrant. Enter Boaz, a wealthy landowner and Israelite national. Boaz breaks with routine as owner, purveyor of the field, to ask his servants about the immigrant girl. His notice of her is remarkable. Potentially, other Moabites came to Bethlehem also seeking food from the harvest. After all, the field workers allowed her access to glean as if it were a common practice to invite foreigners. And when Boaz asked about her identity, they clarified that she was the Moabite girl who returned with Naomi from Moab in verse 6. Boaz learns two things that day about Ruth that impact his resource management. First, she is a foreigner bound to a widow in his family, verse 4. And second, she has neither husband nor father to account for her, verse 6. He invites her to glean in his fields, rest, and drink when necessary, and he provides for her safekeeping by charging his servants to leave her alone, verse 9. He encourages her to stay close to his own female servants where she may be safe and have companionship. Ruth asserts herself in response, a bold move. Addressing Boaz directly and asking why he takes such good care of a foreigner such as herself. He attributes it as Yahweh's blessing, repayment for her initiative and faithfulness to Naomi, his kin. Boaz blesses her in verse 12. He shares his food, grain, and vinegar, verse 14, and he requests that extra wheat be left on the fields, verses 16 and 17. Boaz's decision to impose a standard of safety and security for Ruth benefited other women who gleaned alongside her. His decision to leave additional sheaves for her also benefited the other poor who gleaned in the fields where Ruth gleaned. In his actions, Boaz demonstrated Levitical law to which he was obligated. But he was inspired by meeting Ruth to provide acts of altruism above and beyond his duty at personal economic cost, even though his motivation was still to help his family primarily. When Ruth returns to Naomi, she acknowledges Boaz as a relative and encourages Ruth to continue working in his fields, verse 20, which prompts me to ask, why did she not bring Ruth to the council or to the elders at that point? Or when they first arrived to find a relative to meet the levirate law. Clearly, Naomi was keeping herself separate from society, serving her own interests by holding fast to her new self-appointed identity, Mara, bitter one. Boaz risked his profit margin and Ruth risked her safety in their actions. Both were motivated by personal, social, or psychological factors that are not thoroughly explored in the text. The encounter between Ruth and Boaz resulted in elevating a socioeconomic paradigm for the poor in the fields of Boaz of Bethlehem during that time. In chapter 3, Naomi speaks about settling Ruth. Naomi's risky plan exposes Ruth to personal danger and reinforces prejudices against foreign women who are often described as having a tempting influence to lure Israelite men away. Nonetheless, Ruth acts. At the harvest party, when Boaz has eaten and drunk his fill, he lies down just as Naomi had predicted. Ruth takes advantage of his vulnerable position and secrets herself into his bed. She acts against social propriety when she uncovers him and asks him to extend protection to her, a variable marriage proposal in verse 9. He is flattered, and his first action is a promise to protect her virtue in verse 11. Boaz neither owes her this protection, nor is it necessary. Nonetheless, he binds himself to her with this pledge. What prompts Ruth to act in such a seductive manner toward Boaz? Is it her devotion and love for Naomi? Certainly, there are more direct ways to approach the local community and inquire about the possibility of levirate marriage. After all, Boaz had already taken notice of Ruth and showed her particular attention. We are informed of the legal convention when Ruth makes her request of Boaz in the night, and his immediate response appeals to the law. He says, "There is another kinsman more closely related than I," in verse 12. Even so, he invites her to remain the night in his bed, during which it is widely concluded and agreed upon that they engaged in sexual intercourse. When Ruth returns to Naomi, she has brought with her a generous gift from Boaz. Is this a dowry? Naomi creates a sense of urgency in the narrative when she tells her Boaz will take care of the matter immediately in verse 18. Is Ruth pregnant? Whatever way it goes, Ruth will soon have a husband, either Boaz or the unnamed next of kin that Boaz spoke about. Ruth defies social conventions to secure a better future for herself and Naomi. She makes a marriage proposal while uncovering a man in the night and bedding him. She must realize this will likely result in her pregnancy. Why does she put herself at risk like this? Is Ruth's behavior an act of altruism? Does she seek Naomi's security or her own? It seems that Ruth is consistently acting altruistically. She engages in the Israelite economic system in her labor, marriage negotiations, and childbearing practices. She risks her safety and her reputation for Naomi's sake. Ruth is motivated by some religious, psychological, or social convention that prompts her to act against social conventions and against self-preservation. Even so, she is rewarded for her efforts. In the final chapter of Ruth, Boaz is the initial actor. He goes to the town's gate and meets with Naomi's next of kin, according to the custom, in verses 1 and 2. He negotiates landowner to landowner. Elimelech's widow, Naomi, is selling a parcel of land, and he has the first right of refusal. This law is based in Numbers 27, verses 1 through 11, and Leviticus 25, 25. The next of kin is unwilling to redeem the property once he learns that he must also take Ruth as a bride. His reason? Because he does not want to put his inheritance at risk. A predictable course of action according to kin selection theory. He is protecting his family and eliminating risk to distribution of his wealth. Following the legal custom, Boaz then makes a public pledge to acquire the property and with it Ruth as his wife in verse 10. Boaz and Ruth are married and a son is born in verse 13. At this point, both Boaz and Ruth disappear from the narrative. Naomi, however, is blessed by the women in the city. She is no longer in seclusion. She becomes a nurse to the newborn, and a child is described as one who will nourish Naomi in her old age and restore life to her. In verse 15, Naomi lost her family in chapter 1 and was restored to her status by gaining a son at the end of the narrative. She sought her own security and risked the safety of others, particularly of Ruth. Naomi followed classical economic conventions, never straying from pursuing her best interest, and she receives the economic reward. She is restored to an honorable position in her community, guardian of a child who will be important in the royal lineage of her people. And Ruth, for whom the book is named and whose faithfulness is remembered, acted altruistically against her own interests and received none of the praise at the end of chapter 4. However, it is Ruth's name and reputation that survives tradition. Breaking down the Ruth narrative with economic principles shows how social conventions sometimes follow cooperation models and sometimes follow altruism in marriage, migration, land management, and resource distribution. Ruth used her agency to perform acts of altruism that benefited Naomi, Boaz, and the larger community. Which economic principle survives the narrative? Classic economics says society provides implicit punishment for misbehaving by acting outside the expected rules of order. But in Ruth, we saw that every action that challenged social norms was met with a reward. In the end, Naomi found blessing through her daughter-in-law, in verse 15, who was said to be as good as seven sons, a big compliment for the ancient society. Ruth's altruism became a reward for the whole community, prompting Boaz's generosity with his land and harvest. The narrative in Ruth supports Thaler's notion that people are not punished when they act against economic social norms. Ruth elevates her own position and Naomi's through her actions. Biblical ethics are best understood when the text is read in conjunction with other social science disciplines like economics, social life, and even scientific theories of evolution and technology. Past ethical analysis of Ruth has focused on chesed, the faithful love Ruth demonstrates, and the faithful response of Boaz. Faithfulness and blessing are central themes of the book of Ruth and two essential attributes of Yahweh. By incorporating a behavioral economic reading of Ruth, we can add a biblical ethic of altruism. While many assume that any altruism in the book of Ruth is attributed to Boaz upon initial reading, reading Ruth through a behavioral economic lens reveals that consistently throughout the narrative, Ruth is the benevolent, altruistic agent. Ruth is the immigrant mother whose son is raised by a national. Ruth is the lover who risks her reputation against reason. Ruth risks herself, her identity, and her reputation in order to bless the Israelites, her adopted people. Ruth is a living example of Yahweh's remarkable faithfulness to a selfish people. Thank you for listening to my presentation. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you have any comments, questions, or feedback, please engage on my blog site that is linked in the podcast description. You can also read a little bit more in detail, and I will possibly post the paper or a published version of the paper soon. So thank you for your time, and thanks for being a supporter and listener of my podcast. And if you are a reader of my blog, please check it out. I also read my blogs as broadcasts, so that if you'd prefer to listen, you have that option. And I look forward to engaging in the future. This has been Dr. Erica Monhay Greer with a Scholarly Wanderlust podcast. I hope you have a great day.